Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 611 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. You know, sometimes I don't always go out and enterprise the story and go do the digging and get all the records. I'll be honest, I did not ever request the records from the Pensacola Police Department for the hiring and firing and evaluations of Eric Randall. Honestly, I figured that Channel 3 and PNJ would do it for me, and then I could just use whatever they found, and that's actually what happened. So it turned out, my wife always says, you know, you're a procrastinator. I'm like, yep, sometimes it pays off. So, you know, sometimes let somebody else do the work for you. So in this case, both PNJ and Channel 3 had good stories about the, you know, good journalism follow-up on the story of why Eric Randall had lost confidence in the police department. The PNJ version of this, only 29% of the police department had confidence in former police chief Eric Randall in an internal survey conducted in June. This is Jim Little, always doing good work. The records detail a police department unhappy with pay and compensation that predate Randall's time as chief. That's true, but also unhappy with leadership of the chief both before and during his time as chief. Surveys beginning in 2019 show confidence in the chief was not improving under Randall, even when scores on pay and compensation did improve. So they were less unhappy about pay, and they were still unhappy with Chief Randall. If you go by the years, the breakdown overall engagement in PPD, 2019, 47%, 2020, 25%, 21 was 28%, 22 was 30%. That's the first year under Randall, then 41 and 33. But throughout the survey, rank and file police officers least engaged group as low as 18% in 2020 and 23%. This is kind of what DC was always talking about in terms of trying to get more people responding to the survey was a really important feature. Individual categories, the scores on a 1 to 5 scale, 1 being dissatisfied, 5 being very satisfied. And the scores are then computed against a norm among similar departments nationwide. Again, I'm just reading from Jim Little's piece. Firms like Gallup and Qualtrics, which conduct thousands of engagement surveys, notes on their website. And here's the idea. Scores that are a negative 0.5 versus the national norm are serious. Scores that are negative 1 point versus the national norm are really serious. They need intervention is required. So communications ability and direction of the department were the two things that they evaluated. 2019 down 0.6 and 0.8 respectively. That's bad versus the norm nationally. 2020 down 0.6 and 0.9. 2021 down 1.4 and 1.3. That's like if your average nationwide is a B and you're getting a D minus. That's the idea. It's off by a lot. 2022 down 1.3 and 1.1. 23 down 1.0 and 0.8. And 24 down 1.2 and 1.1. A consistent off by more than a point compared to the national norms. So Chief Randall had gotten positive reviews previously from Kareth Fidler. But Fidler noted the low engagement. And then, of course, you know, when D.C. comes in, Kara Fidler goes away and he brings in Tim Kinsella. And, you know, this is the Channel 3 story. Does a really good job of this. The 2025 survey. They gave him a 6-month kind of probationary period and said we need to have better results. OK, this was in January of this year. 6-month performance improvement plan. Well, then they did a survey 6 months later and they didn't get the numbers that they wanted. 29% of the department, this is PPD, gave confidence in the chief a positive score, 29% neutral, and 42% negative. So that's a combined 71% neutral or negative, depending on how you aggregate your numbers. Neutral slash negative is not a good place for 3/4 of the department to be. Anyway, so that was kind of the slice of it from the PNJ's piece. I'll give you the piece of it from WAR here in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5. John?
That's right. Still dealing with that accident that happened on Scenic Highway and Baybrook Drive. First responders are on the scene. They're trying to get that off to the side of the road. Just seeing some minor delays there. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Again, returning to the question of, you know, why did Eric Randall wind up getting separated, I guess. You know, he wasn't fired, but it was mutual. But, if things were going well, he wouldn't have left, right? I mean, it's kind of obvious. But sometimes you do somebody a favor of saying, hey, it's just not working out. And, right, I mean, you know, this is better HR, I guess. Anyway, this is the WEAR story. Under previous city manager Kara Fidler, Randall consistently scored well in his evaluations. His last score with Fidler was a 3.83 out of a possible 4. We need to pick a number, pick a scale. Is it going to be 1 to 5? Is it going to be 0 to 4? Just pick one. Anyway, in his most recent report, Kinsella gave him 1.5 points lower than that, a 2.33 out of 4, which is bad. Professionalism, 3 out of 4. Chief Randall, this is Tim Kinsella. Chief Randall is courteous, respectful, and carries himself with the highest sense of integrity. As a chief executive of his organization, however, I would like to see greater effort placed on extending that professionalism along the chain of command with regard to providing a workplace where all officers feel they have an avenue to have their concerns addressed and that the department follows up with employees who have legitimate concerns. Communication, 2 out of 4. While Chief Randall's very prompt and timely in his communications when issues arise that may have interest or require attention in the mayor's office, it has been my experience thus far that communication within the department is severely lacking. Within the department, there is a perception of a black hole in the chain of command regarding communication issues come down from top when it's important, but issues from the bottom are rarely addressed appropriately. Knowledge and competence, 3 out of 4. There are issues within the department that continue to be of concern and have yet to be addressed in the 3 years that Chief Randall's been in office. We can blame problems on our personnel or budget, but at some stage we have to take responsibility for our team and seek solutions to our issues and resources in concert with City Hall. Teamwork, 2 out of 4. Individually, officers at PPD feel they can depend on each other with their very lives, but they have little to no confidence that department leadership cares for their well-being beyond the necessary public safety concerns. We have, all caps, have, to do better in developing a culture of trust within the department. 3 years of continuous decline in employee engagement is a trend we cannot, all caps, continue. I know from firsthand experience Chief Randall cares deeply about his personnel, but caring is not enough. I need to see decisive action that sends a clear message to the PPD that the culture is changing in a positive direction. Initiative, 2 out of 4. By the way, that's one of the marks you always look for in whether somebody's being fair or not, is do they allow for the contrary narrative or contrary facts in what they're saying? Like this to me is, I dearly love Tim Kinsella. I respect him highly. Great guy, good friend. I know from firsthand experience, Chief Randall cares deeply about his personnel. That's a concession. He's a good person. He cares. He's motivated. He's interested. He's passionate. But caring isn't enough, right? I mean, that's, in a weird way, that's a much more devastating critique than saying, you know, he's bad, bad, bad all the way across the board. Because he's saying, I know his intentions are good. I know he's a good guy. But that's not enough. Anyway, back to the evaluation. Initiative, 2 out of 4. While Chief Randall has many ideas to address known issues, I have yet to see solid action to address them. For example, it's unacceptable. We have almost a dozen vehicles that have been sitting and waiting to be outfitted for almost a year when vehicle condition is a major concern for the department. I realize there are barriers to getting the necessary work done, but it is the chief's job to find ways to break through those barriers. Safety focus, 2 out of 4. This is, I think, the last one. There is no doubt in my mind Chief Randall takes the safety of his department very seriously and would do anything he could to ensure that his officers remain safe on the job. However, again, good, but however, in my short time here, I have become very concerned with the level of complacency in accepting deficiencies in equipment and training because of the belief that City Hall will not provide the resources due to budget constraints. You know, you got to ask. You got to, you know, come with a plan, right? Anyway, at the end of the review, Kinsella, this is, again, the Channel 3 story, mentions that every city employee he reviewed was graded on a slightly lower scale due to his inexperience as a city administrator. I completely understand that. I know one. I used to teach, okay? And I know from teaching that grade inflation is real in the academic world. I do a lot of these, like, food judging kind of things, you know? And not a lot, but a few of them anyway. And I am always the lowest grader. It's not because I want to grade people, like, you know, if it's a 1 to 5 scale, it's not like I want to give them a 2 or a 3. But I want to make sure that the first one I try, I don't give them a 5, and then somebody else is really much better, and then I'm like, where do I go from here? So I like that Tim is acknowledging that just the numbers alone may not tell the whole story when you're going from one evaluator to the next, because his own sense of what normal is and what numbers are justified might be off. But, you know, we encounter this all the time. If you give somebody a 4 review, you're hurting them, right? In the digital world. If you put 4 stars or 2 stars or 3 stars for Walmart. You're hurting their reputation. Like, it's all of that. All of that stuff's a problem. So I actually like that Tim acknowledges I gave them lower marks because I wanted room to recognize improvement, and I wasn't sure what was normal. Anyway, in his overall comments section, Kinsler writes this. There's no doubt in my mind as to the level of dedication and personal investment Chief Randall has put into the police department. However, he needs improvement in his executive skills that will enable him to make improvements and lead the department in the manner it requires. There are serious issues with internal communication, budgeting, prioritization, and employee engagement. So, to me, this is, I mean, I think as much as we're ever going to learn about details, but this is pretty detailed. And if they put him on an improvement plan starting in January, and by, you know, 6 months later, the numbers didn't change, there's your answer. There's not some big nefarious scheme here. There's trying to make sure that every department in the city runs well. And I am sure that's Tim Kinsella's motivation, and I am sure that's D.C. Reeves' motivation. And frankly, you know, Amy Miller and everybody else in the leadership, I don't have doubts about this. So some people, I suppose, are never going to be satisfied with an explanation. And again, this is not an indictment of Chief Randall as a person or as a local or somebody who cares or as a cop. But, you know, I'll give you an example for me. You know, I'm a pretty good talk show host. I should not be running the station. You know, you can be a good radio personality and not necessarily be a good sales manager, program director, engineer. John, would you want me as the engineer for the station?
The answer would be no.
Would you want me as the sales manager for the station?
That would be funny, but no. I mean, I would enjoy it.
Do you want me as the, you know, do you want me to do Mary's job? Do you want me to be the general manager for the station? Do HR? Do you want me to be that?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Well, actually, that would be fun. That would actually,
yeah,
that would be all right.
Okay.
But you know, it's a good, like, people have their skills. People have their abilities. And sometimes they wind up in either a position or in a situation or both where it's just not really the right fit. That's it. At least to me, that's it. 622 News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
Summer's heating up, and so is the menu at Sonny's Barbecue. This is Eldon with Sonny's. Sink your teeth into delicious competition-style St. Louis ribs, smoked to perfection and ready for a standing ovation. Or try the new barbecue slider sampler. 3 bold sandwiches and 1 happy belly. Feeling a little tangy? Grab the Tennessee Vinegar Pulled Pork Sandwich. It's got a zip that you won't soon forget. Don't forget to save room for the strawberry corn cakes. They're sweet, seasonal, and only for summer. Visit sunnysbarbecue.com for the location nearest you.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air this Thursday, 9:30. See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win 1 prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You gonna call me?
I'm gonna call you. But if you come by, I won't call you. Okay? Don't ever, 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 ever come by here. Okay?
You know, I had never watched Friday.
And that blows me away.
Yeah, well, you know what you know, you don't know what you don't know. And I had not watched it. That movie's funny.
It is.
I mean, it is. It's a little ridiculous, but it's mostly just pretty funny.
It's funny.
6:25 on News Radio 92.3. Bye, Felicia. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. You know, I'll confess it.
Confess.
I had seen that expression, heard people say that expression. I didn't know where it was from. So I'm watching the movie like, oh,
that's
cool.
Where it is.
All right.
I know. You're special. All right. I'm just being serious. I mean.
Do the traffic, Felicia.
Okay. All right. If you're on Scenic Highway and Baybrook Drive, we're still dealing with that earlier accident that happened. First responders are trying to get that out of the middle of Scenic Highway, so just be aware of that. Also, Davis Highway southbound as you approach Olive Road, starting to see some minor delays, but I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, Felicia. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
What's your girlfriend's name?
Talisha.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know, you're not alone. I've never seen Friday either.
There you go.
What?
Yeah. We just never sat down and watched it.
Yeah. And there's like three of them, I think.
Homework.
Aren't there two and
it
three?
Happens. You know,
okay,
it
go
happens.
On.
Ghislaine Maxwell calling on the Supreme Court to overturn her sex trafficking conviction in a new brief filed on Monday. Lawyers for the longtime confidant of late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein argued that an agreement made between Epstein and the U.S. government should shield her from prosecution. Of course, she's currently serving a 20-year sentence in federal prison. She met with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche last week. ICE agents in California are in a holding pattern. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco heard arguments over a judge's order restricting immigration enforcement in Southern California, but so far has not issued a ruling. And Ozzy Osbourne is being celebrated today in his hometown of Birmingham, England. Of course, he died last week. His body will be carried in a hearse through the streets alongside a brass band.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Did you see the story about the Florida school board member who, this is bad. You've got not here. Okay, it's not here. It's elsewhere in Florida. It's, you know, other Florida. It's Eastern Time Zone Florida. You know, the other people. Okay?
Like other people?
If we're ever going to secede, you know, from Florida, if we're ever going to split Florida, we'd probably split it. I mean, that the time zone would make sense in
right.
some ways.
I get that.
That would also avoid us having to acquire, say, you know, Jacksonville. But anyway. So this is, where was this? I knew it. Now I can't find it all of a sudden. When I read through the piece, I'll see it. Anyway, Florida County School Board Chair Sarah Rockwell. Don't have the county in front of me. Sorry. She posts on social media. This is bad. This is last week after Hulk Hogan died. Okay. Oh, did Hulk die? This is a school board chair. Oh, did Hulk die? I didn't even know. Good. One less MAGA in the world.
No.
Mm-hmm. Follow up. Yes, I shouldn't kind of laugh because death isn't funny, but ever since I was a tiny girl, that man would creep me out and scare me. Follow up. This is like thread within thread within thread. He worked with the McMahons, Vince McMahon, to union bus professional wrestling. He's never been a good guy. I feel absolutely nothing about his death. And the last one. Yeah, he used to creep me out too as a child. Terry was pleasant enough when I worked with him in the late 90s, but he wasn't a great human. His racist rant was the final straw. I feel for his loved ones, though. So, one less MAGA in the world from school board chair Sarah Rockwell. And subsequently deleted. Subsequently deleted.
Yeah.
Subsequently apologized for it. A few days ago, I made a cruel and flippant comment from my personal Facebook account on a friend's post regarding the death of Hulk Hogan. I deeply regret making that comment and have since removed it. I want to make it very clear that I never have and never will wish harm on anyone, regardless of whether we share political views. While I strongly disagree with some of the comments Hulk Hogan made, it's no excuse for my comment. And then I also sincerely apologize for the way it's eroded confidence in my ability to represent all students, et cetera. You know, Alachua County. I want to assure you all the best interest. Okay. Number one, hate and contempt make you say stupid things. That's true for all of us. That includes me. Hate and contempt make you say stupid things. Second, does it bother you that she thought it or that she posted it on social media? Because people say all kinds of awful things in private among friends and think them in their heads. You just got to know what things not to say out loud in public. That's a judgment issue.
News, I'm Gianna DeLosi. Chaos erupting here in New York City as a gunman opened fire inside a Manhattan office building yesterday, killing at least four people, including an NYPD officer, before turning the gun on himself.
According to the NYPD, this gunman, armed with an AR-15, literally pulls up right near Park Avenue, jumps out of his BMW, walks up those steps, and enters the lobby. That's when they say he pulled out that weapon, shot and killed an NYPD officer, and shot three other people who also died, then went upstairs and opened fire. As well.
That is Fox's Alexis McAdams. President Trump wrapping up his trip to Scotland, opening a new golf course.
I look forward to playing it today. We'll play it very quickly, and then I go back to D.C. and we put out fires all over the world. We did one yesterday. As you know, we stopped a war.
He also worked out a trade deal with the EU, but said he's done talking with Russia's leader after no ceasefire was reached. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 82 degrees. That real field temp is at 96 already this morning. Another hot day in store. Of course, we'll check in with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. An 18-year-old Alabama woman is facing charges for the brutal killing of her grandmother in Mobile County. Officials say Jalene Mia Lupton was arrested after her 70-year-old grandmother was beaten to death with a mallet on Saturday. Mobile County deputies say they found that woman dead in her front yard with head trauma. A neighbor reported that Lupton barged into her home then and told the woman that she'd killed her grandmother and demanded her car keys. Lupton currently being held on second-degree murder charges in the Mobile County Jail. A Florida man fighting an uphill battle in his last-minute attempt to avoid being executed. News Radio's Austin Price.
The Florida Attorney General's office has urged the U.S. Supreme Court to reject convicted killer Edward Zakrewski's attempt to avoid his scheduled execution on Thursday. Zakrewski was sentenced to death for the brutal 1994 murders of his wife and two children in their Okaloosa County home. State attorneys are arguing that his petition is unwarranted given the extensive legal process that he's already received. If executed, Zakrewski would be the ninth inmate put to death by lethal injection in Florida this year, and that would set a modern-era record. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. Three Pensacola family members are facing charges for an organized retail theft ring that targeted stores at the Cordova Mall. 40-year-old Devin Moore, 68-year-old Janetta Powell, and 43-year-old Katina Grimsley all reportedly face charges related to these allegations. Police say the investigation began after 14 pairs of sunglasses worth more than $5,000 were stolen from lens crafters. Investigators say they linked the family to items taken from several stores at the mall, including Old Navy, Belk, Dillard's, Carter's, and Foot Locker in May. According to police reports, Powell said she took the items and gave them to her daughter, Katina Grimsley, to sell. Moore also reportedly admitted to taking items and selling them when he needed money. Moore and Powell are currently being held at the Escambia Jail. Grimsley is not currently in jail and has not been arrested on charges related to these thefts. Well, if you've got some problem-solving skills and you need a job, Escambia County might have just the ticket for you. They're looking to fill several dispatcher positions.
The dispatcher is constantly moving resources here and there for EMS, staging them here, prepping them here. Somebody who's good at that, logically and logistically thinking, is a good forward thinker will be a good dispatcher.
Public Safety Director Eric Gilmore, he says the dispatchers are also tasked with organizing the response to calls from first responders. Candidates would need empathy and the ability to deal with the public as well as a 911 call taker. For more information on that job, check out myescambia.com. A couple of Florida lawmakers pushing to modernize the Space Coast launch facilities. Senator Ashley Moody and Congressman Byron Donald said yesterday they've urged the Air Force Secretary to increase the efficiency of modernization operations at Cape Canaveral Space Launch Complex 37. Senator Moody says it can't handle the heavy lift launches due to outdated infrastructure anymore. She says updating that would ensure continued American space dominance. 6:35, John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Still dealing with that one accident that happened on Scenic Highway and Baybrook Drive. First responders are on the scene. I'm not seeing any delays associated with it, but I wanted to let you know to make sure that you knew about it. Let's see here. Also, there was, if you're on I-10 westbound, approaching the Alabama Welcome Center, single car wreck, left lane blocked by emergency vehicles. So there's going to be slowdowns that are backing up all the way to the state line. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are under a heat advisory today with heat index values up to 112 degrees. High today near 96 degrees with a 40% chance of pop-up showers and thunderstorms. Heading into the overnight period, temperatures dropping near 78. For Wednesday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 91. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 83 degrees, partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola, looking for another hot day. Heat index already at 96 degrees this morning. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Treasury yields edged lower this morning, just ahead of the Federal Reserve's two-day policy meeting. The 10-year Treasury yield slipped 1.6 basis points to 4.404%. The two-year yield was little changed at 3.92%. Merck said it will slash $3 billion in costs by the end of 2027 to be fully reinvested to support new product launches and its drug pipeline. Merck also posted second quarter revenue that missed estimates and narrowed its full-year guidance. UnitedHealth gave 2025 earnings guidance that fell short of Wall Street expectations. The company and the broader insurance industry are grappling with higher medical costs in Medicare Advantage plans. The report adds to a growing string of setbacks for United, which owns the nation's largest and most powerful insurer. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 64, the NASDAQ up 70, the S&P 500 up 1. Once again, futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
At Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, they know you've heard of acupuncture. But what is it? Acupuncture is a time-tested holistic medicine that can help decrease pain and restore function. They treat patients suffering from chronic back pain, neuropathy, joint pain, arthritis, migraines, and so much more. They can also help with digestive disorders, infertility, anxiety, and depression. To learn more or schedule a consultation, visit awpensacola.com. Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, where a healthier and happier you awaits.
You hear that? That's Mike sleeping soundly on a Sunday night. That's because Mike was smart this time. He took ZzzQuil Ultra to fall asleep fast, stay asleep longer, and get the deeply restorative sleep he needs. So now he wakes up refreshed and ready to conquer Mondays.
Let's do this Monday.
ZzzQuil Ultra. Not for colds, just for sleep. Really great sleep. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Concerned about the board's consideration of Dr. Clifford Humphrey for the position of Vice President of Strategic Initiatives / Chief of Staff. While he does meet the preferred qualifications for this position, a relevant doctoral degree and exactly 4 years of experience, he fails to exceed them. I expect that might there not only be potential candidates with more leadership experience in higher education, but there are also likely those who have the desired qualifications and who are already a part of UWS community.
This is Damani Turner Ward, who is a frequent participant from the public in the UWF Board of Trustees meetings, and she was raising concerns, questions, criticisms of the proposed assistant chief of staff to interim president Manny Diaz, Clifford Humphrey, who was up for the vote on Thursday to be, you know, they were going to create the position and also hire him, which I think was an interesting melding together of two different things. I think that, you know, frankly, those two things should maybe be considered separately. If it's worth making the position, then it's worth considering who's the best candidate for that position. At the same time, a little bit of deference to the president, even though he's an interim, you know, that if he wants this person brought on to help and he knows the person he wants to do the help, you know, maybe you vote him in at the same time. I don't know. I can kind of go either way on that. But, you know, Damani Turner Ward says, you know, we want somebody who knows the community. Typical problem that we run into. We want to make sure that people know the area, know UWF. You know, maybe we have somebody on campus who's better at this than he would be. So then Manny Diaz actually explains the position, just in case anybody wasn't sure what the hire was for.
We're asking you to vote on the addition of a vice president position in strategic initiatives, also serving as chief of staff. This position will be building and expanding research relationships, working hand in hand with the provost and other folks on campus to try to connect those research opportunities across silo.
Yeah, strategic initiatives, moving across the silos, trying to get people working on the same page, and also, you know, being chief of staff to the president, you know, outreach to the community, all of these things. Okay, so we got to meet Clifford Humphrey himself. I didn't know anything about him. My only thing that, you know, I was kind of side-eyed this whole deal was, look, if we're going to pay Manny Diaz more than we're paying Martha Saunders, and of course she was fantastic, and we're paying him more than we're paying her, and also the first thing he has to do is bring on an additional person to help him do the job, and we're going to pay that person, you know, $180,000 a year. Well, weird. You know, that struck me as weird. But then I got to meet Clifford Humphrey.
Wanted to say quickly three things, just give you a little brief history on who I am. Secondly, I want to speak about my connection to Pensacola. And then third, just say what I bring to the table from the experiences that I've gained in my background. So I grew up in Georgia and attended college at Palm Beach Atlantic University in South Florida, graduated with a degree in psychology and had a real interest in political philosophy, but wanted to learn a trade. So after I graduated college, I moved up to New York City and got a job in a cabinet shop in the Bronx. And while I was there, I was taking language classes in Latin and Greek at Columbia University. And what I gained from that experience was a great appreciation for blue collar work, people who are learning real skills. And I've always carried that with me wherever I've gone in higher ed.
Same story you've heard 1,000 times. Cabinet maker takes Latin at night at Columbia University. Like, I mean, that's the beginning of a really cool story. You know, I'm going to take him at his word that he deliberately wanted to learn a trade, a physical activity. And at the meanwhile, he's learning additional dead languages at night at Columbia. I mean, that's like a movie, right? I mean, that's a wild premise. Okay, how is he connected to Pensacola?
After that, I was extremely interested in what I was learning in my classical languages and wanted to be able to dip into teaching. And I got a job in Pensacola at Trinitas Christian School, and I spent a couple years there teaching classical languages, philosophy, rhetoric, that kind of a thing. And my love of learning just grew from there, and I wanted to go to graduate school and learn more about these subjects so I could continue teaching. First, I went off to China for a year and taught English and traveled around there, and that expanded my understanding of education in a completely different environment and different kind of space. And then I attended graduate school, first at the University of Dallas, and then transferred to Hillsdale College, where I got my PhD in political science and gained a lot from that experience.
Holy smokes, Renaissance, man. Like, I went to China to teach English for a year. I've studied philosophy, psychology, languages, rhetoric, you know, political science. I worked as a cabinet maker. I helped teach at Trinitas. I mean, good gravy. Like, I don't know how old he is. I didn't look. But starting to feel a little underexperienced personally, right, John?
Right. Isn't that, yes. You know? I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I should.
After that, I graduated in 2020, and so all of my academic job applications disappeared in the midst of COVID. And the job that I was able to get in 2020 was helping to found a new college in Raleigh, North Carolina, called Thales College, and that was a really interesting experience. I did that for a year and a half. And then moved to Alabama, where I was working at Troy University, directing their Center for Leadership Development and teaching there at Troy. And then an opportunity came up to be able to move here to Tallahassee to work in the Department of Education. I was very impressed with a lot of the reforms that Governor DeSantis has been making and wanted to help be a part of that. So I've spent the last 2 years here in the Division of Florida Colleges and really gained a lot from that experience as well.
No big deal. Founded a college, facilitated a college. Moved to Tallahassee to help out with Governor DeSantis' education reforms. No big deal. Just, you know, done a couple of things. We'll come back to this in a second because, you know, we're halfway through his bio from his recounting of it, and I'm sold. I mean, I was sold like two clips in. You know, this guy sounds great. Anyway, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10, seeing a minor 2 to 4 minute delay there just due to congestion, but traffic is moving. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Did I ever tell you how, I've probably never talked about this, I always had an idea to found a college.
You did?
Yeah.
Would it be called Andrews College?
Andrew University? No.
Yeah. I was going with it. I mean.
Well, I always thought the idea would be to focus on just teaching people practical philosophy from people who really know. So, you know, money, relationships, you know, ethics.
Just, you know, you can start up an online university.
I know. But it just never.
I think it's a great idea. I think we should roll with it.
You know, I never did it.
Because I want to teach a class.
Maybe I could still. Anyway, back to Clifford Humphrey. He got me all excited talking about founding this school, Thales College. I'm like, oh, yeah, I had a dream to do that at one time. Anyway, his Pensacola connections?
So secondly, regarding my connection to Pensacola, I did live there for 3 years. I married a girl from Pensacola, and my mother-in-law, I will say, lives across the street, basically, from UWF. So I'm happy to alleviate the concerns of the public comment we had earlier that I actually do have a strong connection to UWF. She is an alumna herself, and actually yesterday I was able to acquire my transcript from when I took courses at UWF. I audited a course first, and then I took my very first master's level class at UWF, and that was to help me get an application together for graduate school elsewhere. But I gained a lot from that experience.
Yeah, so I've taken classes at UWF. My wife graduated from UWF. My mother-in-law lives right across the street from UWF.
Also, while I was teaching at Trinitas, I was teaching rhetoric, and they have a unique setup there where one quarter of a semester they go to UWF and do research in the library there. So I spend actually a lot of time on campus and got to know the place very well. While I was in Pensacola, I got to work at the Apple Market, which, if you know Pensacola, is a staple of that community. And I cherish the people that I got to meet there and the experiences I got to meet while working at Apple Market.
Dude, like, what didn't you do? It's just wild. Somebody just texted in. My cousin worked with him at Apple Market. Loved him. She was great. Loved working with him. I mean, in the deli. Like, he's done everything. And great admiration for the breadth of skills and experiences. It's really Renaissance man kind of stuff.
my experience at Thales helping found a new college that didn't exist, basically my role was to recruit the very first class. And from that experience, I learned the importance and the difficulties that have to be overcome regarding enrollment and admissions and marketing even and all of that. So that was something that was really important that I gained at Thales.
Yeah, in founding a college, you learn some things. Oh, somebody texted in and says, his experience and resume are about the most polite shut up to his detractor you could possibly imagine. And I agree, like way above anything. I mean, you dream to meet people like this, right? So anyway, Lonzie Scott, who is a holdover from before DeSantis and one of the people on the board I admire for always being willing to ask, you know, the challenging questions. They didn't really ask too many challenging questions here, but one of his big emphases has been classical education, as you heard him mention a couple of times. So Lonzie wants to know, well, what does that mean?
Explain to me, how do you view classical education model and how you think that would work at the University of West Florida?
Sure. I mean, that's a big question. I'll try and keep my answer concise. I know that the governor and the commissioner have talked a lot about trying to bring a focus back to higher education, and the term classical education is thrown around quite a bit. In fact, Florida was the first state to bring in the classic learning test as a assessment that students can use to be able to prove college readiness. So classical education to me is a commitment to focusing on fundamentals with regard to education, and also an acknowledgement that that whole endeavor of education is a civic education. We're trying to create not just worker bees, but good citizens. Free of any kind of ideologies that have gotten in the mix of that and sort of corrupted that process.
Yes, and amen. And he's exactly right. The purpose of the university, the college education, historically has not been to produce a great trade or even a great income, although that's how it's been sold to the masses post-GI Bill, right? But the idea of the university was always to take the people who had the, you know, basically the best intellectual capabilities and give them as much as you could possibly give about history, philosophy, literature, exposure to art, and, you know, develop them into people. I mean, liberal arts is really the idea of developing citizens who can then shape and lead and influence and guide the polis, the state, the society. So great answers. He continued talking about classic education. I thought this was kind of interesting.
There's a whole lot more I could say on the subject. My entree to classical education was in Pensacola at Trinitas, and I was very impressed by what I saw there. So again, to me, there's a lot you could say, but to sum it up, it's a focusing on what's fundamental as well as focusing on the virtues that are required for a democratic republic such as ours.
Yeah, you need a certain kind of person in order to have a democratic republic or a constitutional republic like ours. I would wager that we are not really making those kind of people very well anymore. And so we need more emphasis on how to make citizens. And, you know, just people is not enough. It takes, as has been said as far back as de Tocqueville and the Founding Fathers, that it takes a certain kind of person in order for this system to work. It doesn't work for everybody. Ed Fleming, first meeting on the board, local attorney, great guy.
Didn't have any questions for Dr. Humphreys. I did want to thank him for offering his services in that position. Incredible resume. I believe the university will be absolutely privileged to have you on board, and I look forward to getting to know you as the years go by. I hope you're here for years.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, same. Susan James, who I think it was her last meeting, even though she wasn't present, she sent in a letter that was read by one of the other people.
As ever, university presidents should enjoy the latitude to hire and work with the right team for them.
Agreed.
I know my fellow BOT members will ask the questions needed in order to find out clarity about this position. For instance, why are we hiring a permanent chief of staff for an interim president?
Now, she went on to also ask questions about salary and all of that, but that one question was never answered, and that's a really good question. If we have an interim president, why are we hiring a permanent position to be the chief of staff to the interim president? That's a good question. I mean, it's a fair question. It never got asked, really. It never got answered. Part of the reason is because we all expect that Manny Diaz is going to be confirmed as the regular president, that that's the path forward. So it's not that surprising, but that's a fair question. So then they get down to voting and they vote unanimously. Everybody, even the holdovers from before DeSantis voted for him to come on board. The ones who had questions about Manny Diaz, the ones who thought Martha Saunders wasn't treated well, all that kind of stuff. Everybody was on board. And I mean, good. I agree. This is a good thing. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. Like I said, I didn't know anything about him before. I had questions about the position and the role, but listening to him and seeing some of the, you know, his resume, like, hey, this is the kind of person you want helping run a university. So I'm very optimistic about this. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Minor delays on Highway 29 northbound as you approach 9 Mile Road. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 7th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon is Friday, August 15th, in the lobby of the Studer Family Children's Hospital, presented by Hanto and Clark.
You will hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who have benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
All the money stays right here.
Gulfwinds Credit Union is matching donations up to $20,000.
This year, help us raise funds for supporting our childhood cancer patients with a lit laser.
Special thank you to our champion sponsors, including Florida Power and Light.
Thank you.
And our hope sponsors, Autumn Beck Blackledge PLLC, International Paper, and Navy Federal Credit Union. You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Mass Confusion takes the stage with classic rock, Motown, smooth jazz, funk, country, and oldies all in their own style. Come out and take a spin on the dance floor at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. This week, don't miss the Gulfside Market.
Hey, Pensacola, it's Christina Leavenworth with the Leavenworth team at Leavenrinke Realty. Your home is your most valuable asset, so make sure you're hiring a professional, the Leavenworth team. The Leavenworth team has the knowledge and expertise to help you buy or sell your home with confidence. Don't even think about making a real estate move without at least talking to us first. Contact us today at 850-378-1260. The Leavenworth team. Experience matters, and we're here to help.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
And when Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer. Benefits of a classical education.
Good morning, 6:59, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. See, it's important to have classical education. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. A Frontier flight from Seattle has landed safely in Denver after crew members discovered threatening notes mid-flight. Passengers apparently were evacuated at the Denver International Airport on Monday. The airline called it a bomb threat. Law enforcement says they didn't find anything concerning, though, after a full sweep of that plane. The FBI also says there was no sign of a credible threat.
All right. Very good. Thanks, David. I appreciate it. Coming up next, the opposite of classical education produces influencers on TikTok who have apparently lost their ever-loving minds over Sydney Sweeney's jeans.